Friday night late, and man, was it nice and green down there. Everything was green. I mean, I thought, God, there's something wrong with this whole setup. Texas is a blessed place, Lord. We should be getting a little more rain than we're getting. But you know, one of the things, take your Bibles and go to Psalm 63, if you would. We'll just give you an introduction to Mary. Psalm 63 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I want you to know we are literally experiencing that this year, I think, in the state of Texas, at least, and across the country. Where there is no water, we're now experiencing a great thing happening in the spiritual realm. I look, Mary and I travel all the time, and we're in many churches across the nation, and we see almost the same thing throughout. It's a dry and thirsty land.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Praise God. Last year we went to Ohio, and I had something happen. We had something happen there that has not happened to us previously in all these years of ministry. And when we would finish up our presentation of the gospel, the congregation would respond with, give us more, more, keep going, give us more. And that, you know, and I thought, you folks have got to be nuts. You know, after all, I've given you, you know, a good shot here. What do you need? You know, but anyway, that church called and said, would you come back again this year? And I said, yeah. He said, now, the pastor said, now, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to preach at my church on Sunday morning. Your wife goes with my wife and preaches in her church on Sunday morning. Sunday night, we come back together like we did last year. I said, okay. And then you go through Wednesday. I said, okay, I can handle that. He said, then I've got you scheduled in a Pentecostal church over in a neighboring town, and gave me the pastor's name and said, I don't know how he'll respond because he's not used to all of us. But we'll see. And then back here Sunday, and Mary will go to his wife's church. They have two churches there in the state of Ohio. And I want you to know, I was able to watch and see what a real redneck operates like. Because they were almost in throwing distance to West Virginia. Now, if any of you are from West Virginia, forgive me. But we went over there. This is a time for us to spend time with God. We need, before, more than ever before, we need to spend time with God each day. It's not enough to just come on Sunday and receive a wonderful teaching like you do here and things like that and make it last all week. You need to spend time with God, reinforcing what's been shared with you here, with what God is saying to the body of Christ. What is God trying to get over in your life? You see, it's not enough just what God is trying to get through in this church, but what about you personally? What is God trying to do in your life? How is He able to turn around things in your life that need to be turned around? And all of us have those areas that we need God to do something.
Yes, we do.
And we need to see the hand of God moving like as never before. And so much of the time, we sit idly by and say, well, we'll make it till next Sunday. If you're doing that, you're missing the fruit of what God wants to do. God would come and visit in it. The week. Mary and I get up each morning. I know we're in a little different setup than most of you, but we are up every morning. I do admit that the first thing I get is my coffee. Some of you do the same thing, don't you? One lady said, yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. It's a lady saying it. Most of the time it's a guy saying it, you know. But we get our coffee, and she goes to her prayer room, and I go to mine, and we spend time with the Lord for an hour or so, at least. I'm generally an hour or so, she could go all day, you know, in that area. I heard a young man from Minnesota say one time in a meeting I was in, he said, "I'm for intercessors. I'm just glad it's not me." He said, "My wife can come in and fall across the altar and stay there all day long." He said, "I'm about 30 minutes and I'm through and ready to go do something else, you know, in that area." And his wife has written a book on intercession, by the way, in that area. Now, it's because of his long-suffering that we're even here today.
Yes, amen.
Not just Mary and I, but that you're here. You know, because God loves you. As I look at you, I don't know why. As I looked at the mirror in myself this morning, I didn't know why, God. God, are you sure about this, you know? But he's sure. He called you for a purpose. What is that purpose in your life? Have you examined that to see if you're fulfilling that purpose? I believe that all of us have a calling in our life that we need to fulfill. Now, I didn't even know Mr. Borchert sang and made announcements. You see, I'm learning all kinds of stuff here today in this place, seeing it. And I miss Paul. He's vacated the thing this morning, so we'll have to talk to him about that. He may be in some other country. I mean, he does those kind of things. But you have to see God's hand. You see, God had someone set up to fulfill that. And wasn't the praise and worship good this morning?
Yes, amen.
Amen? I tell you, I enjoyed it. Now, we have just finished a convocation over in Dallas, of which your pastors are a part of that particular ministry. And I was amazed. We had a little fellow who I first heard here. And his father-in-law was saved in the fellowship hall in this building. And that was Brother John Osteen. Gary Simmons is his son-in-law, who pastors over in Arlington. And he really blessed us in that situation. He even apologized for 2 years ago when he spoke and went too long. You know, preachers sometimes go too long, and you wonder what I'm doing. I'm filling the time until she gets back. She'll love that. But isn't it amazing as we look at things we do, as pastors already explained this morning, things that we do, things we've done, and we look and God still loves us. You know, he still loves us, still cares for us. It's amazing to me. Even in these dry times, and I believe we all have a dry time every once in a while. You know, I've been in ministry over 40 years, and I have never had a full period of time when I was on top all the time. You know, there was an opportunity to have a little trial in my life. I didn't like it. I attended Rhema like David. And after all, they told us if you had enough faith, you didn't have to do those things. I found out, don't work like that. We're all going to have those periods of time where God has to take charge. It's kind of like the old saying of the person praying and they see the sets of steps in the sand, you know, you've heard the story, and then they see all of a sudden there's just one set of prints in the sand. And they say, "Lord, you deserted me." He said, "No, that's when I was carrying you." So sometimes God has to carry all of us a certain period of time. But even in these dry and thirsty times, God is still on the throne. He hasn't lost any of his power. He hasn't lost any of his love for each of us. You know, our love is a lot of times predicated on performance. Do they do good? Fine. You know, I like that all right. And some years ago, I left a secular job I was on and went in ministry full time, and so I told Mary, I said, I want you to begin to prepare breakfast. Breakfast is my favorite meal. So she said, okay. She made biscuits from scratch. And in 1 month, I gained 18 pounds. They were good biscuits, I want you to know. I told her at the end of that month, enough is enough. I hereby relieve you of your commitment to make those things. But God spoke something real precious to Mary this past month and last couple of weeks. And I want her to come and share that with you, that you be encouraged that we serve a God who's concerned with each and every one of us. He's concerned with your pastors, yes, but he's also concerned with you. You see, you're an extension of them. And we're all called to do what God said do. Not necessarily what we want to do. I've had times when I've said, God, are you sure about this? I don't believe this is really the best way to do this thing. But when I would let it alone and do it like God wanted done, good things would happen. Now, I realize that you seldom get a double barrel potion, but this morning you're going to get one. You ready, Tiger? I do serve her. I have to get her a microphone.
I'd rather not even have a microphone, but I know we can't preach without it. And I was just thinking about that scripture that Brother Bill read, and I thought he was going to get on that. And I want you to go back to Psalm 63 in that first verse. And when we were riding along and we were talking about how dry it is in Texas, God spoke this to my heart, that the church is as dry as the land. And listen to me now. There's good news coming down the pipe, but I want to tell you this. And I want us to pray for Texas. I want us to pray for our governor. And I want us to pray for our president and the decisions that are being made right now. I felt really, really strong by the Spirit this morning. I've been praying a lot in the Spirit since about 4:30 this morning. And we're in a serious condition in our country. We're in a serious condition. And life as we know it is not going to continue as it is. I can tell you that by the Spirit of God. So God is talking to his people and telling them that they're the arbor, or they're the ark, or they're the sanctuary that people are coming to. The people of the world are going to come to us. And ahead of time, God's going to give us the answers. And we're not going to be walking around in fear. We're not going to be walking around in insecurity. We're going to know our God, and we're going to do exploits in his name. So I want you to get ready today to crank up the pump and crank up your spirits. And I'm going to get into my message, but let's pray first. Let's pray first. Father, we come to you right now. We lift our hands to you, Lord. We are your people. We are your people, Lord. There's righteous people in this state. And Lord, I ask God that you let rain come to the state of Texas. Not a flood, not tornadoes, not damaging rain, but just good rain so that the farmers' crops will flourish. There's lots of, our son-in-law is a farmer, and he farms 2,000 acres, Lord. And God, we speak blessings on these crops all over this farmland of Texas as we've driven through Texas and we've saw the drought, Lord God. But God, you give us great promises in your word. And we stand upon your word, Lord God. And God, we are going to be obedient to your voice. And Lord, as I speak this morning to this people, I ask that you anoint me with your spirit and that I speak life into these people. And Lord, that they see what I see in the spirit, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I feel your presence in this place right now. Hover over this people and draw them into your ark today in Jesus' name. And Father, we lift up our president, we lift up our governor, and Father, we lift up all of the people in the White House right now. God, as they're battling over all these things, and the decisions that they make will have a great impact on our country, Lord God. And they are eternal. So, Father, we lift them up. And Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit would sweep over the White House. sweep over the White House and let your wisdom flow in, Lord. And God, just blind the eyes or blind the minds of those that are in opposition to your will. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's praise the Lord for just a minute. Just lift your hands and praise God. Father, we praise you and worship you because you're worthy, Lord, to be praised. You're worthy to be praised. You are a good God. You are a good God, and we worship you, and we praise you, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for life, Lord God. We thank you for life that you've given us, Lord God. God, we know that you love the praises of your people. And Lord, we don't praise you enough. Lord, we praise you for the air we breathe. We praise you for this cool church that we're in, the clothes we wear, the shoes we wear, the food we eat, Lord God. We praise you and thank you for it, Lord God. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise, Lord God. Okay, let's go to Psalm 63. And from there, in case I forget to tell you, we're going to Haggai. It's a little bitty book, just a couple of chapters. And I'm not going to expound on all the history. In fact, I thought I was going to call on you, Brother Jim, and ask you to give a little scenario there. But I don't think I'm going to do that this morning because I want to go to what God spoke to me. And when I was in this position and in this situation, I have an idea that many of you are in that place this morning. And so I'm going to relate my experience to help you with where you are today. But let's read Psalm 63 first. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. That's an important point. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And Father, I ask as we read this morning that we become thirsty for you, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen there in this, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name, O Lord. That's just what we did, and we'll do it again. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee on my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But thou that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. There shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Don't you want to see that? I want to see the day of those that speak lies. I want their mouths stopped. And there's a lot of people speaking lies in our society today. And it's not just in politics. It's not just in politics. It's in the church. And God is about to do something different. And revelation is beginning to come to the church and to God's people. And don't you thank God for that? You know, we need one another. We need the revelation that God gives to each of us because we don't have it all together. Sometimes when I listen to Brother Jim, I think he's got it all together and there's nothing, you know, that he doesn't know. But you know something? Brother Jim needs me and I need Brother Jim. Sister Peggy needs me and I need her and vice versa. You need me and I need you. And that's in the last days that we're in right now. Do you realize that we're in the last days? We're in the last days. And more we're going to realize our need of one another. And we're going to realize our need of coming together and drawing strength from one another. I can remember a time that I've gone in the church and I would be so tired that I thought I was not going to be able to get there and not be able to sit down. But once I entered into the church and into the presence of the Lord and started to draw strength from someone else, I was invigorated. And we know that praying in the Spirit, the Bible says, if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead will also quicken your mortal body. How many of you in here are filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues? Well, if you're not, you should be, because when you pray in the Spirit, it's like, I think of it like a jet. But it jet propels you. It builds up your inner man. It builds you up and strengthens you. And we all need that, don't we? Because the weariness of this world, you know, it comes down on us. And when we pray in the Spirit, new hope comes in us. Okay, I want to relate a story to you of the preciousness of God, and it was an experience that I had, and then God brought it back to my remembrance. You see this ring that I'm wearing? For many years, off and on, I gave a lot of diamond jewelry away to different people, and I know when it came through my hands that I was not to keep it. I just would just pass it on to somebody else. But there was a lady in one of Brother Hilton Sutton's meetings that I was in, just a convention that I was there. And she came, and she gave me this ring. She had just bought it. And she said, "Mary, I'm going to put this ring on your finger, and God says that is a signet ring that he is giving you." And I don't know if you know what a signet ring is in the Bible, but it's the authority of God. It represents the authority of God in the presence of God. A signet ring spiritually represents that. But in the natural, she said to me, "God has put his stamp of approval upon you, Mary. And wherever you go, God's going to bless you." And you know, God spoke that to me about 2001. Let me ask you this. How many of you out there that God has spoken a word to you and maybe you've forgotten it or you just laid it off to the side? And I had that written down in my Bible. There's one hand out there. Somebody else, has God ever spoken to you? How many of you out there that you know God spoke to you either through someone or the Word? Yeah, and we long for that, don't we? We long for it. We want God to speak to us. Well, this particular morning I got up and I was interceding and praying. And I was to that place that I had to have, I told God, I have got to have a word, a concrete word from you, oh God. I've got to have it. I can't go another day without it. And I don't want maybe a word for some man to call me and say, "Mary, I've got a word from God for you." I said, "God, I want you to speak a rhema word to my heart that I will know that I know that I know that God has spoken to me." Let me ask you, how many of you has God spoken to like that before? And when God speaks a rhema word to you, all the demons in hell can't get you to back off of it, can they? And I'm praying that this rhema word that God spoke to me is God's going to plant it in your heart today. And that the demons in hell can't get you to back off of it. Because there's a world of people out there that are desperate, that are in fear, they're in poverty, they're in all kinds of depression, and they're running to and fro. And we, the people of God, have the answer. But sad to say, some of us get in that condition, don't we? But good to say, God doesn't leave us there, does he? He lifts us up out of those places when we go to him. So that morning, I went to God because I was in one of those places. Because you see so much sometimes, and especially like with us traveling, sometimes you see so much, if you're not careful, it overwhelms you. Or you take on all the burdens of all the people you see. And, you know, ministry has a problem with that sometimes because we see the needs and we want to meet those needs, but we can't do it. God's the only one that can do it. And so as I was crying out to God and reading my Bible and reading books and just looking to God for him to speak to me, there is scripture over there, and I don't want to give it to you ahead of time. I want to give you the rest of my story here. And I began to search through the Word, and I began to read in Haggai, and I'm not going to read it all to you, but it describes the state of our world today. And it described the state of my mind. But it says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yes, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake and make tremble the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land." And that's what's been happening in our world. And I was privileged to get to speak right about the time the tsunami hit and all the people were killed, you know. And people were asking Bill and I, was this God? Was this the devil? And I know people ask Brother Jim and Peggy and the ministry here. People want to know, did God do this or did the devil do this or what happened? And the Lord gave me a scripture, but I went and checked it out with our Father and Lord, Brother Hilton Sutton. And God was stirring in his spirit the same thing. And what's happening in our world right now, if you want an answer to that and people ask you, the answer to that is that the whole earth is groaning and travailing for the manifestations of the sons of God. Folks, there are people out there that are groaning and moaning and wanting us to manifest God to them. You know, as we travel, we witness to people. You have no idea. How many of you witness a lot? Then you realize people are hungry. They're looking for something. And let me tell you, we've got the good news, as Pastor said this morning. We've got what it takes. And when, you know what? We may not know always everything, and we may just not be right on in security, but let me tell you something. People recognize that the people of God have peace, that God blesses them, that he walks with them, and the steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered of God, and God delights in his ways. And people see that in us. They watch us many times when we don't know that they are. And so, excuse me, you can tell. But anyway, verse 7 says, and I will shake all nations, and the desire and the precious things of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with splendor, saith the Lord. Now, Brother Jim, I'm going to give some little facts here, and if I don't get them all right, you can correct me right over there. But the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and out of bondage, and there's many sections in the Bible that covers this. But they were spoken to by God, and he told the children of Israel, consider your ways. He says, you're so involved in what you're doing that you're not concerned about the house of God. Now, when I speak of this, this was a natural thing. God was wanting them to build a building, but that's not what I'm talking to you about this morning. God wants us to build his spiritual house because there's a famine in the land, and people are about to pour into the house of God. They're about to pour into the house of God, and they're going to be asking you questions. And I'm saying to you this morning, consider your ways. Will you have the answer? Will you have been in the presence of God to give them that word of life that they need? Jesus didn't save us just to keep us out of hell. He saved us to give his life to other people. And we have it in us, and we have it to give. I just quoted that scripture, if that same spirit in you, it will quicken your mortal body, and it's in you. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. I'm in chapter 2 if you're trying to find out where I am. The latter glory of this house with its successor to which Jesus came shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace and prosperity. And I'm telling you today prophetically that peace and prosperity are about to come to the church. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's been many people that have prophesied, and even at this convention, we heard there's about to be a transfer of wealth from the wicked to the righteous. And I believe that. I believe that's happening. But you know, that transfer is not going to come until we consider our ways, until we get our hearts and our lives on go with God's work and what he wants to. And is there people in here that needs to be blessed this morning? When God dealt with me that day, and when I was praying, and he spoke this word to me over in Haggai, he said, Mary, when you begin to tend to the things of God, the things that I want you to tend to, and when your priority becomes me and your time is my time, he said, then I'm going to bless you beyond measure. And on June the 30th, God spoke this to me out of Haggai, and it's verse 219, Haggai 219. He says, from this day forward, Mary, I will bless you. And I remember that because it was like a dividing time of the year. June 30th, if you realize, is the half of the year. And the first part of the year, God spoke to me prophetically, and he said, Mary, before this year's over, what we know as America will not be anymore. And he said, and I can tell you this, that I believe, and we're already seeing catastrophic things come in our country, and I'm not telling you this for fear's sake, but God is telling you to get prepared. I remember when Bush was president, and they were telling that we have four grids in our country, electrical grids. I think they showed pictures of them in the newspaper. And he was telling the congressmen and the senators and the people, the leadership of the country, he said this. He said, all of these grids are outdated. They're outdated. And they will not carry the electrical load that our country requires. And have you ever been anywhere where the computers went out or the electricity went out? Do you realize you can't pump gas? Tell me all the other things you can't do. Huh? Without electricity, you can't do anything. And I think just the other day I heard that there was a blackout in a certain part of the country when we were traveling, and 160,000 people in one little area were without electricity. But we were in an area one time where the computers went out and nobody could make change, nobody could sell gas, nobody could do anything. You couldn't buy or sell anything. Do you get the picture here? There's some things coming, folks, that we need to be prepared so that when people walk in fear and they walk in like, that we're going to be people say, hey, we can help you. We know the God of the universe, and he supplies all of our needs. He does. He supplies all of our needs. And so God, that morning, he spoke to me. He said, Mary, I will, from this day forth, Mary, I will bless you. And I could start telling you some of the ways that God has blessed me since June the 30th. But I want to tell you something. When God gives you a word, how many of you said you got a word from God? When God gives you a word, immediately what happens? The enemy comes to try to steal that word. And every time that the enemy would bring a negative thought outwardly or inwardly, guess what? This thing rose up in my spirit, and he said, Mary, from this day forth, I will bless you. And he said, Mary, I want you to tell the people, from this day forth, I will bless you. If you'll take this message and believe it and get it in your spirit, let it birth in your spirit, God's begin to bless. How many of you out there have needs? Have financial needs? We walk in that sometimes, all the time. Let me tell you something. God will not fail you. He has never failed to meet a need that Brother Bill and I had. But if you really want to get a hold of this and get blessed by God, let me tell you over here in Haggai what he told the people. And Bill and I were talking about this in verse 14 of chapter 1. The Lord stirred the heart and the spirit of Zerubbabel. And I'm not go into all this because it's, the history of it is too long to put in a sermon this morning. You'll have to teach this, Brother Jim, to your people after I give them this, because I'd like to get into all of it. My heart would like to get into all of it. But Bill and I saw in the scriptures here that he first stirred the hearts of the leaders. And then he stirred the hearts of the people, and then they had a heart to build. And God is in this latter part of this year is going to begin to stir your heart. He's going to begin to put a hunger in your heart. And Bill says, 2 hours is not enough for me. But I'm going to tell you, he's going to stir you. If you'll allow him to, you're going to have a drawing and a stirring in your heart. And you're not going to be satisfied with yesterday's bread. You're going to want more of God. And the reason God is going to stir your hearts, people, and the reason he's going to draw you by his spirit is for the days ahead, so that you'll be able to stand in the days ahead when conflicts come. And I know that we're, you know, you might, if I would have you all raise your hands, or if I could see what's in every one of your spirits and in your minds, it would overwhelm us to know the things that are in people's lives in this congregation. If I just tell you what Bill and I walked through the last few days, you wouldn't believe it. But you know what? God is able. God is able, and he does. I love that scripture about God magnifies his word. Who was that quoted that this morning? God magnifies his word above all his name. Well, it was not only pastor, it was someone in the congregation. And you know, along with him magnifying his word above all his name, over in Jeremiah it tells that he's present and he watches over his word to perform it. You know, it delights God when we remind him of his word, when we know his word. And so when I say this scripture that I just quoted about him magnifying his word above all his name, before I pray, how many of us pray that scripture? If any two on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask of their Father in heaven, it shall be done for them. And I said, God, you said in your word that you magnified your word above all your name. So I know when I pray this scripture, if I'm praying rightly according to your word, that you're going to answer my prayer. This is, and I've been talking to God even about the rain in that fashion. But one of the things that you're going to begin to see, and I believe that if I could talk to leadership today, and Brother Bill and I were talking about this morning, and he brought this out, that in Haggai, God stirred up the leaders before he did the people. You're going to begin to see the leaders of God stirred up. How many of you in here either consider yourself a leader or have a calling on your life? I believe that you're going to be stirred in the next month or two or three. You're going to begin to get a stirring in your spirit like you've not had before. Have you got anything you want to add while I'm pausing for a minute? Okay. During this time, they talk about, is the harvest grain any longer in the barn? As to the grapevine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree, they have not yet borne. But from this day on, I will bless you. Now, I want to tell you this, and I have to be kind of careful what I say, because our son-in-law farms 2,000 acres. And the corn in our area got such a little amount of water that most of it was just about this high. It was just about like that. You know, it usually grows as tall as me or taller. And it just looked pitiful. And some of the acreage is around us. And as I was sitting praying, I was speaking blessings on the land and speaking blessings especially on my son-in-law's corn, because we sit on that land. And I won't go into the amount of bushels, but most of the farmers around there are getting half the bushels that our son-in-law is per acre. And I want you to know, you can literally pray and you can bless that kind of thing, and it happens. There was no rain, but the crops were blessed so much that he's getting double per acre than most of the farmers around there. Of course, they're not saying anything to the other farmers, because that would kind of be, you know, like a prodding them. But God is blessing him because he is a good man and he gives to God. But I want to tell you, when God spoke this, from this day forward, Mary, I will bless you. But there was a condition. For God to bless the people, what they had to do was put the things of God first. And obedience in Haggai, the children of God, the children of Israel, were obedient. They did what the prophet and the leaders told them to do, to build the church. But they were sad because the edifices and the natural that they were going to build was not going to be like Solomon's temple. And God really spoke to them and told them this. And I'm telling you this today. The glory that I've seen in my lifetime, and I've been in services where the glory of God was so heavy that it was like a fog or like a mist that it was hard to see because of the heaviness of the Spirit of God. Have any of you experienced that in your lifetime? Okay, there's two people back there. Well, God is saying to us today that the glory of the latter house, of these last days, is going to be greater than what we saw. Do you long to see people healed, delivered, set free, blessed? You want people, when they come in the church, not to go out like they come in, right? Okay, if you'll put God first, people, if you'll put Him first in your life, there is no limit to what He's going to do. No limit. God's saying to you today, prophetically to you, as the voice of God, I'm speaking to you. If you'll put God first in your life, there God will take the limits off your life. How many of you in here have financial needs? Okay. How many of you in here are depressed? How many of you in here are bound by the enemy with habits you don't want? And God's saying, put me first. Put me first, and I'll do those things that you desire. And I'm telling you, I've lived long enough with God to know that that is true. That is true. He's delivered me from death. I cannot tell you how many times that He's delivered me from death. But He reminded me of this ring. And He said, Mary, you're going to go in the authority of God, and you're going to speak to people, and what you tell them will come to pass if they'll hear the word of the Lord. So if you'll hear the word of the Lord this morning and take hold of it with your spirit, digest it in your spirit. It doesn't matter if you're a babe in the Lord or if you've been living with the Lord for 40 years. If you'll take hold of the word of God, and little children like these young people sitting over here, they so easily take hold of the word of God. They believe and take hold of the word of God. We're going to see little children like this raise people from the dead. We're going to see little children like this lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed, because they won't reason out and they won't have their mind all clouded with other things. Thank you, Jesus. Let me take a little sip of water. And I'm about to... The Lord has reminded me of this twice, and I'm going to share this story. I haven't shared it. I've shared it here before, but for years, I have prayed and believed that Bill and I would be here when Jesus came. And I don't know about you, but if you're watching a movie or something, don't you hate to be watching a movie and miss the ending? If somebody calls, I'll say, Bill, just tell them I'll call back and get them back. Because you've watched this movie, a good movie, and I love Western movies. I love cowboy movies. And I've probably seen all of them 10 or 12 times. But anyway, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, it would not be fair for us to battle all these battles and not be here when you come for the grand finale. How many of you want to be here when Jesus comes for this grand finale and to see all the great things that God's going to do? The world's not going to get better, but the church is going to get better. Things are going to get better in the church for the godly people. And so I said, God, I want to be here when you come. If I'm not praying amiss, I prayed that for about 10 or 12 years. And I said, I want to see revival in this great country of America that was dedicated and given to you by George Washington. I said, I want to see this country. I want to see revival in this country. And just let me inject something right here. God's doing a mighty, mighty work in our young people in our country in the ages of 15 to 30. I mean, there's a mighty stirring in our young people. And so I prayed that. And so we went into a meeting, and there was an African prophet there on stage, and we had ministered to the ladies, and Bill had ministered to the men, and we had met him just briefly. And right in the middle of the sentence, you know, and I'm telling you this to tell you that God hears our prayers, and He has our number. And he said, Mary, he stopped right in the middle of the sentence, and he called me Mother Mary. He said, Mother Mary, he says, the thing that you've asked God for, you will have. You will have it, and you will see revival in America. And here I'm telling you this again. When God comes and gives you a rhema word, and I knew that was from God, because I knew I just prayed that the night before. Immediately, the enemy came and tried to kill me. Immediately. To dissolve what God had spoke to me. And I was struck in a matter of probably, I don't know how many hours. The next day, I had shingles break out all over my head, in my ear, and all over me in this area of my body, almost into my eye, in my ear, and then I had Bell's palsy in my face. And so I'm telling you, the enemy was mad because God had spoke a strong word to me. And let me... happened to you. And so you don't let those words go. You don't think that you miss God or they miss God. If it's a word from God and it bore witness to your spirit, you hold on to it. I cannot tell you how many times the enemy has come to tell me that I'm not going to be blessed, that I'm not going to have the things that I need to do what God has called us to do. And you know what? When God, I found out another thing. When God speaks a rhema word to you, immediately the Holy Spirit would say, Mary, from this day forth, I'm going to bless you. No matter what negative thoughts came, that would come up in my spirit. Mary, I'm going to bless you. And no matter what the circumstances look like, God has said, Mary, from this day forth, I'm going to bless you. And we've been in some pretty rough circumstances the last 3 or 4 or 5 days. And I tell you what, every time, and you, how many of you, sometimes the enemy plagues you with negative things in your mind, doesn't he? He does. Well, when God speaks, I'm telling you, when God speaks a word to you, that word will rise up in your spirit and it'll counteract that negative. I told Bill, I said, it's amazing. Every negative thought that I had, immediately, the Spirit of God came up in me and he said, Mary, I spoke to you on June the 30th, 2011. From this day forth, Mary, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless what your hands put to do. And so the enemy, that's what the Spirit, you know, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard up against the enemy. Well, let me tell you something. I experienced that more than I ever had. The Spirit of God would rise up in me and combat the negative of the enemy. Now, my challenge to you this morning, and I haven't gone near as far as I'd like to, but I think that this is where God wants me to stop with this. I want, by the Spirit of God this morning, I want to challenge you. I don't care what age you are. And what place you're in with God. I don't care if you're in the deepest of sin or you feel like you're the most righteous person in here. I want to challenge you today by the Spirit of God to ask God to speak a rhema word to you, directly to you. Every one of you in here, whether you think you need it or not, you need a rhema word. You do. I wish I could go and the Spirit of God would just let me read all of your minds. I know I don't wish that, Lord. Forgive me. I don't wish that. But if I could take a pool of the circumstances in here, the days are coming when you're going to have a rhema word. You're going to have to know how real God is. One time we had the privilege of sitting at the table with Brother Mike Murdoch, and that was when he was going through a lot of stuff with his son, and I think that was public. But anyway, I told him, I said, Brother Mike, I said, there comes a time in our children's life when God has to become their God instead of your God. They have to know God for themselves. And I said, that's where your son is now. He's having to find out that God is his God, not just your God. And so you're going to have to find out that God is your God. Not just Brother Jim's God, not the leadership here. You have to know God for yourself. And I'm telling you, as a voice of God this morning, there's coming a day very shortly that you're going to have to know your God. And you're going to have an intimate relationship with him. You're going to have to be in his presence, and you're going to have to know his voice. And so God is saying to you, my children, and Brother Jim said it so beautifully this morning about how much God loves us. It's not because of how good we are, and it took me so long to find out that God could love me even though I wasn't what I thought I ought to be, you know? And I think we all have that problem sometimes. It's hard for us to realize how much God loves us. But he loves us unconditionally. And he's warning us ahead of time. And a lot of people, and I think most of the people that I listen to and regard as men of God hearing from God, they're not saying that things are going to get better. But let me tell you something. If you know the Bible, when did people come to God? In persecution and hard times, didn't they? There's some more hard times coming, but not for the people of God. It's for the world that is coming, not for the church. The church is going to rise up and be strong. And God's issuing you a challenge today and saying, shake the dust off your feet, rise up and cry out to me and get in my presence and give my presence first priority in your life. give the spiritual church the first priority, and forsake not the assemblies of yourself together. And I'm going to throw this in because we've been hit with this. Don't quit giving to God. That's the first thing that the enemy is going to try on you, that you don't have enough, you can't give to God. But don't quit giving to God. Leave the door open for God to bless you and to minister to you. And Father, we come to you right now. Lord, I thank you that I have delivered, I believe, what you wanted me to deliver to these people this morning. And let them read the book of Haggai. It's just two chapters. Let them study it and see that the children of Israel were not in a great place. They had just come out of bondage, Lord God. But Father, they obeyed the prophet and they obeyed the leaders. And they adhered to what they were saying. And as they obeyed God, you blessed them. You blessed their land. You blessed their field. You blessed their crops, Lord God. You blessed everything that pertained to them. And Father, I pray that this word that I have given them today, that the enemy cannot steal it out of their hearts. Lord, that you would make it real to them, that as they go out of this place, Lord, you would favor them and bless them and show them how much you love them. There's not a person in here that does not need to know that God loves them. And Father, pour your love out upon your people. Draw them by your Spirit. Stir them, Lord God, stir them, and tell them that they have a short time to prepare for the days ahead. And Father, it's not a message of fear, but it's a message, Lord, that we have a God of the universe that knows all things. And yes, the heavens, the earth, and the sea are being shaken. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that the people of God are going to draw together and they're going to come together. And when the world needs us, Lord God, we're going to be there with the answers that they need, Lord God. God, we thank you for safety. We thank you for like to cease and desist. God, we thank you that every need that is here this morning will be filled by the Spirit of God. Father, we praise you. We praise you. God, you said you inhabit the praises of your people. I want to ask you, if you will, one more time, and I've never realized it as much as I've realized it today, as I was praying and spending time with God. God desires the praises of his people. And we've gotten so busy sometimes that we don't have time to praise him. Would y'all take one more minute as we stand and as Brother Jim comes, and if he feels like we have a time to minister, we'll do that. But let's stand to our feet, and I hope you got something out of this. Don't let the enemy steal the word of God out of your heart, and get in his presence so you'll be prepared for the days ahead. Father, we just praise you and thank you. Let's just lift our hands. Praise in any way you want to. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord God. God, we thank you that you tell us ahead of time. You tell us ahead of time what you're about to do. And yes, there's going to be a wealth transfer. Lord, as we get in the place with you that we should be, Lord God, you're going to let wealth come into our hands. And Father, if there's like in our life, it's because we're not giving you priority in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you that everyone in here this morning will give priority to you, that you'll be first place in their life. Who knows? Number one in their life, Lord God. And Lord, you said if we seek you and your kingdom first, that everything that we had need of would be added unto us. Add unto these what they have need of, Lord God. If it's deliverance, Lord God. If it's finances, whatever it is, Lord. If it's depression that needs to be lifted off of them. If it's habits they can't break. We bind those things and we say they have to go in the name of Jesus. When people get in the presence of God, shackles will be broken off. And Father, we thank you that you break the shackles and the bondages off your people today, Lord God. Deliver them and set them free. Father, we praise you and we thank you for it. We just give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Amen and amen.